Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I'm going to preach a sermon beginning out of a psalm, and this psalm 126, as well as Ephesians chapter number 3. We're blending the Old Testament prophet. Yes, David was a prophet, the prophet king, prophet shepherd king, with the words of the apostle Paul, who became a great evangelist to the Gentiles. And we read in Psalm 126 and 1, and it says it's a song of degrees. A song of degree means a song that's meant to lift you higher and higher and higher. It's kind of like when we worship today, and that last song we were involved in, it just kind of pushes us higher and higher. And thank you, Brother Brandon and team, you know, exhorting in us. And then we're like, I will build my... And that's what kind of song this was that they were singing. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. When our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south, that means warm waters. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. David writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 3 and verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's the Holy Ghost, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, so be it. And the words that are used in that passage of Scripture are the superlative, exceeding, not just exceed, but exceeding, not just abundant, but abundantly above all we can ask or think. Thank you for standing in honor to the Word of God. You may be seated. Thank you for worshiping. Each of us has had dreams in our lifetime. And it's at times both fascinating and humorous to share our dreams with another, only to hear them tell of a similar or the same dream that has drifted through our night visions, like you're running through the sand and you just cannot make tracks enough. And the person or individual or whatever it is behind you is slowly closing the gap and you wake up. You fall only to know that as you're falling, you're never going to hit the bottom, but you always have that sinking feeling that you're falling because you wake up before you hit the floor. It's also interesting to tell of a dream that you have had only to find out that it's a recurring dream in many people's lives. How many of you have had dreams like the ones that we have just described, or something that is, it's something like that, and it's like, why does that dream keep coming back to me? I don't know, sour pickles, not enough ice cream, too much pizza, I'm not sure what it is. But the kinds of dreams that I want to talk to you about this morning are those dreams of possibilities that could be. I want us to think about cognitive dreaming. In other words, seeing something and imagining it better than what it is, or bigger or grander. Seeing our life as enough but not more than enough. Seeing sufficiency but not abundance. Active dreaming, not the dreams that drifted at will through our mind when our body was at rest, but not the dreams that you have awakened with in a cold sweat, but dreams birthed from the desires of your own heart or the intention and purpose of God. Dreams with fantastic results. Do you have some dreams? I hope you have some dreams. I hope you have some unrealized expectations that you're not just in cruise control like, well, life is over and I think I'll sit in my rocking chair. No, there's still something left to happen in life. There's still something that is going to appear. And it doesn't matter the succession of our age nor the time period with which we have given our life to God. There is still something more that God can do. As we have been talking lately of John the Revelator, he wrote the book of St. John in his late 80s. He still had something to say to the church that speaks yet to us. I would share with you a story written by a successful businessman named Jack Canfield. He writes, I have a friend named Monty Roberts who owns a horse ranch in San Ysidro, California, and he lets us use his house to put on fundraising events and raise money for youth at risk programs. The last time I was there, he introduced me by saying, I want to tell you why I let Jack use my house. It all goes back to a story about a young man who was the son of an itinerant horse trainer who would go from stable to stable and racetrack to racetrack and farm to farm and ranch to ranch, training horses. And as a result, the boy's high school career was continually interrupted. And during his senior year, he was asked to write a paper about what he wanted to be when he grew up. That night, he wrote a 7-page paper describing his goal of someday owning a horse ranch. He wrote about it, his dream in great detail. He drew a diagram of the 200-acre parcel of land showing all the buildings, the stables, the racetrack. He even drew a detailed floor plan of a 4,000-square-foot house that would sit on that 200-acre dream ranch. He put a great deal of thought and his heart into this project, and the next day he handed it to his teacher. 2 days later, he received his paper back with great anticipation, but he saw on the front of the paper a very large red F with a note that read, "See me later after class." The boy with the dream went to see the teacher after class and said, "Why did I receive an F?" To which the teacher responded, "This is an unrealistic dream for a young boy like you. You have no money. You come from an itinerant family. You have no resources, owning a horse ranch and breeding stock you can't afford. And later you'll have to pay the stud fees, and there's no way you could ever do it." Then the teacher did something very unusual. She gave him another chance. She handed him the paper back and said, "Come back with a more realistic dream." The boy went home and thought about it long and hard. And he asked his father what he should do, to which his father replied, "Look, son, you have to make up your own mind on this. However, I think this is a very important decision for you." Finally, after sitting for a week, the boy turned in the very same paper, making no changes at all. And he wrote at the bottom, "You can keep the F, I'll keep my dream." Yes. Yeah. Monty then turned to the assembled group and said, I tell you this story because you are sitting in my 4,000 square foot house in the middle of my 200 acre horse ranch, and I still have the paper framed over the fireplace. The best part of the story is that 2 summers ago, that teacher brought a group of 30 kids to camp out on my ranch for a week. And when the teacher was leaving, he said, "Look, Monty, I can tell you this now. When I was your teacher, I was something of a dream stealer. During those years, I stole a lot of kids' dreams. Fortunately, you had enough gumption to not give up on your dream. Don't let anyone steal your dreams. Follow your heart no matter what." Does anybody have a dream today? Do you have a vision? Do you have a dream of what God wants to do through you? Of what He wants to do in your heart? Some wild, fantastic change that He would make. There's something far more important than that horse ranch, spiritual success. Spiritual success is defined by fulfilling the will of God. You and I were created for His pleasure and for His purpose. Revelation 4 and 11 declares, there are desires within the heart of every individual that rise periodically to the surface. Sometimes stress brings these desires out. Sometimes seeing another with spiritual fulfillment strikes desire within the heart. And at times, it is just the simple realization of our immortality spiritually and our mortality physically. And we say, there's got to be more to life than this. God wants to do more with me than just have me sit around and consume the word for my own benefit. These prayers that I pray are not just about me and how I feel, but it's about a world out there that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about one or two, but it's about hundreds and thousands that are yet unborn in the spirit realm that are looking for something that is of lasting value. We have fantastic dreams. We have dreams of peace and joy. Perhaps you dream of a security or health that you have never experienced, or to be loved unconditionally, to have access to eternal life, true friendship. Even Abram called himself a friend of God. We need acceptance. Oh, and then there's the basics of food, clothing, and shelter. But you and I must finish the list in our own mind. What are the needs of your life today? Do you have a broken heart and dream that one day you'll be whole again? And when you see others loving, you won't be jealous, but you'll say, one day I'll love again like that. When you see men and women that don't wrestle with addictions, and you come into the church house and this is wonderful, you look around and say, well, they have no clue. Oh, they have a clue. It's just that they aren't what they used to be, and they're not what they're going to be. But God has taken us from nothing and no one, and struggling and addicted and fearful, to living above those addictions and those fears and those pains and that anguish. Do you wrestle with anger and long for the day when you'll break the chains of that spirit that controls you? I've been there, done that. Is your dream of a day when you wake and seize the day with joy and said, wow, I woke up? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's the dream of physical health, or the elusive dream of a physical home. You dream of losing your fear of death because you are absolutely certain of the destination that you will arrive at when you no longer breathe the air on planet Earth. Oh, you have come to a place where dreams come true. I'm preaching to you about dreams coming true. Dreams do still come true. Yes, you and I can turn on the radio, and it happened to be on when I got on in the car today, and I turned it off because they're talking about the projections of Tuesday, and they're talking about the economy. And as they're talking about it, I happen to be very conservative. And if I do vote, and I do vote, I vote godly as much as I can for those that stand for godly principles or are against those things that are unrighteous. But I said, no, that's not what it's about. I'm on my way to the house of the Lord. I'm going to clear my mind. It's not about the politics. It's not about the economy. It's not about how I feel. It's not about my possessions, because there's never enough possessions. But the love of God can bathe your heart and mind. The peace of God can fill our minds. And we sit in His presence, and we rise into His presence. We were sitting together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You're doing it now because you were standing in His presence a few minutes ago, exalting in His name. And that wasn't just a physical emotion. Yes, there was a physical emotion given out, but there's something that happened in the heavenlies, and we felt the invasion of the power and the presence of God. And one person that had pain in their body finds it slipping away. And another person that had fear in their spirit, it evaporates. And somebody else that's worried about the morrow isn't worried anymore, because we're in the presence of Almighty God. But God doesn't just stay there. He doesn't just stay here. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Thank God for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost.
Thank God for the surrounding of His presence and His power, and that the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear Him. Yes, David is writing about a time when he says again in verse number 1 of Psalm 126, we were like them that dream. It's fantastic. Anything is possible when you dream. You're doing 209 miles an hour and you don't own a Bugatti. You're in a Toyota Camry. But you're in your dreams, and it can happen in your dreams. Perhaps you have fallen captive to the enemy of your soul. Galatians 4 and 3 says, even so we, when we were children, we were under bondage to the elements of this world. Perhaps the situations of your life have stolen your dreams. This is the place where old dreams can come to life. This is the location where new dreams are birthed. A place where dreams really do come true. And again, I'm not just talking about the dreams that drift at will through your mind, but dreams birthed from desires of your own heart, or reading the Word of God, or hearing the Word of God preached or taught. Perhaps there are dreams that are birthed from the voice of God to your spirit, or dreams birthed from desires of God's own heart that He has placed a will in your mind and spirit to fulfill. A song of degrees. A song of drawing upwards, of drawing and going up toward Jerusalem to the house of God. This is a song they'd sing on the way to church. You know, it's the message. It's the 104.1 or whatever it is. I don't know. I just have them on memory and just push the buttons. Each psalm was a song about the journey toward the new Jerusalem, toward heaven. The struggles and the journeys, joys of the journey are all addressed in these passages of Scripture. And this psalm was the last in a series of songs. And if you would go back and read the psalms before that, you would find a progression. They were meant to be the height of the journey. It was meant that as they were going into the gates of Jerusalem, they would sing the final stanzas of Psalm chapter number 126. This psalm is in its right place, and most fittingly, its predecessor, Psalm 125, we read of the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Here we see it removed from them and their great joy. And the word turned is the key to this song. It's a conversation about conversion from captivity to freedom, from oppression to liberty. And it may be well used to describe the joy of a pardoned soul when the anger of the Lord has been turned away from them. Oh, when we come to church, I don't know what you're thinking about. I think about a lot of things when I come to church, but most often I have the message or some music on, or I just go silent, and I'm going silent right now because I'm coveting another church building, and I'm driving by and praying over it. Not that they'd have revival, but that we'd get it and that they'd have revival, because we need the building. And I'm driving through the parking lot almost every morning and surely on Sunday morning and saying, Jesus, you know, Jesus, you know, let me hear your voice. And then I go silent to see if He says something to me. And didn't say anything to me today. But I have a dream of what God is going to do. Perhaps you sit in this place today and you would think the way others think around you and express themselves. It would seem as if their expectations are unreal. You may look at somebody and they have a physical ailment and you say, there's a smile on your face and you're doing all you can do to exalt the name of Jesus. What is the matter with your brain? I saw what you drove up in and you're happy. I see that your clothes aren't the best and the finest, but whoa! And we look from the external and we try to perceive the internal, but we're oblivious because we're not really oblivious, but we are grateful for what God has done, and we're in this place to thank Him for what He has done and to exalt Him for what He is doing and believe Him for what He wants to do. He has turned my mourning into dancing. He has turned our sorrow into joy. Now listen to the words of Jesus in John 10 and 10. The last part of that verse, He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Just read the last part. That's why I gave it to you. Just that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Now here's the Message translation. We'll read the whole verse in the Message. It says, the thief is only here to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. One translation says, I came to give them the best life they can have, considered all things considered. I mean, we messed it up, didn't we? And you might not get what I get, and I might not get what you get, but we're going to get the best that it can be, all things considered. Well, that's what I want. I want the best out of life. You say, can they scrub my record? Oh, God could, but he might not.
True.
Can he take away my debt? He could, but he might just want you to learn the principles of his word to scrub your debt. You know, God can do anything. But the most important thing is that we let him impregnate our spirit and our mind and our thoughts with his thoughts. Because his thoughts are not my thoughts. They're so far above the heavens that it's like the heavens and the earth. And here's God's thoughts and here's my thoughts. And the only time they intersect is when I read his word and I bump into his thought. And when I'm in his presence and I bump into his thoughts and I go, oh, and then Monday I'm just down here. And then I have my personal devotions and boom, I bump into his thoughts. Bump into the thoughts of God as often as you can bump into the thoughts of God, because it will transform your thoughts. You see, in King David's writings, there are listed a few characteristics of those that dream. If you look verses 2 through 4, it's laughter, singing. They're talking about God doing great things for them. And then in verse 3, it says great things for us. And then verse 4 talks about streams in the south or warm water, like we'd all like to have right now. The kind of laughter that is given to those that have been liberated by the power of God is a joyous sound. It's a confident sound. The singing, these are songs, not of sadness, but ballads of victory, because God has done great things for us. It is in this house that you will hear of God doing great things for others that will lift your faith. Great things for us. More wonderful still, in this house, you will experience the goodness of the Lord, and it will make your heart glad. This is not just a mere outward expression of a state of heart, but God has turned our sorrow into joy. He has turned our mourning into dancing. I am so glad that God has changed me. Listen to the man after God's own heart in Psalm chapter number 46. And he writes this to the sons of Korah. He writes to the chief musicians and he says, here, give these to the descendants of Korah. And I want them to sing these right outside the house of the door of God the next time people come to worship. Because Korah, this is who Korah was. They were part of the Aaron's tribe. They were Levites, but they kind of got jealous because Aaron was senior pastor and they were just assistant. Aaron was the one that would go into the Holy of Holies, and they never got to go in, and they started fighting, and Korah caused a rebellion, and eventually God opened up the ground and he swallowed a bunch of them, but there were a few of them said, we're not standing with you. Family stood back and said, you may be going that way, but we're not going that way. And so these are the descendants of Korah. These are the ones that didn't rebel when others have rebelled. And David gave them a special position when he became king. He says, you guys are going to be our worship team. And you're going to be standing out at the gates of the house of the Lord. And when people come in, you're going to be singing songs. And I'm going to write some of these songs. And listen to the song that David wrote. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not we fear, though the earth be removed. swallowed up and cast into the, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Think about it, Selah. He's saying, we're saying it doesn't matter what happens. What we care is we're right here at the doors of the house of the Lord. We're ready to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of our God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Oh, there's a river. There's a river. The streams whereof make glad the city of our God. What is that river? I've got to go to John 7 and 37. When Jesus stood in the last of the feast. And in the last of the feast of the tabernacles. They'd been all living in tents. And shacks for a week. They'd moved out of their house into temporary dwellings so they could remember that God, they were pilgrims and strangers, so they could remember that God had brought them out of captivity into this land. And at the last of the days, they were remembering one thing. There was a rock that followed them in the wilderness, and they could get water from that rock that followed them in the wilderness. And in verse 37 of John 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It's the Holy Ghost. David wrote about our day, your day, my day. And if you would stand with me, I've got a few minutes left, but this will change your posture and get you ready to come and open yourself up to that river of living water. Because I can be wore out and tired, but come into the presence of God and my mind just gets activated. I can be fearful or angry, and I can read the word of God and let him transport me into his thinking, and all of that just melts away. And nothing has changed in my environment. This is a place where dreams come true. But the only way we can step from this realm into that realm is through the presence and the power of Almighty God. Perhaps you are one who once dared to dream and your dream has died. Maybe you served God with all your heart at one point and then you fell flat on your face and you have a lot of regrets. And you're just kicking yourself in the backside. You're just walking around through life and every once in a while you just go like this. Idiot. Idiot. I could have. Well, quit talking about what you could have had and start talking about what you can have. God's a good God. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Have I executed flawlessly? What do you think? No. No, because I'm human. But I keep going to the foot of the cross. I keep going to the Word of God and letting it speak to me. Keep entering into the presence of God so he can wash me and cleanse my thoughts and establish his thoughts in my brain. And so it's not just a 200-acre ranch with a 4,000 square foot house and a breeding stock. And now Monty didn't have to pay stud fees anymore. People were paying them to him. And God can take us from nothing to everything. And the only way he can take us to everything is if we become nothing. John the Baptizer said, I must decrease, but he must increase. I've just got to get out of the way and I've got to let God become more in my life. Beware of the dream stealer. We read again the first part of John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the devil may say this is an unrealistic dream for a person like you. But I would introduce you to the one who keeps the dreams and makes the dreams come alive. Yes, I'm going to read again the last part of that verse, John 10 and 10. I came so they could have real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. Perhaps you pursued a dream and then you've laid it aside. Oh, I had children. I had to get there to that dream. So much for the Corvette. Car seat just doesn't look good on the trunk. But sometimes spiritually we do that. We settle for mediocrity. We say, well, at least I'm saved. Well, what about those around you? Friends, don't live in a saved man's hell. What do you mean, Pastor? Don't just be doing this out of duty. Enjoy the journey. Learn to rejoice with exceeding great joy. Go back to Psalm 126 and start reading it, or sing the last song we sang. And when Brother Brandon or Brother Eli or Sister Elizabeth leads us, just let that heart soar when the music starts to take us by degrees into the presence of God. Don't let it just be your vocal cords and your intellect, but let your spirit rise. And as your spirit rises, we escape the bonds of a human thinking, and we bump into God's thinking. And when we bump into the God's thinking, then we declare the things that are not as though they already are, because He sees the things that are not as though they already are, and He plants those in their spirit, and we begin to say things, and then they're ridiculous, they're ludicrous, they're unbelievable, they're dreams that others would say, that's too big of a dream for you. Amen. But you don't know my Father. Do you understand whose spirit works in me? Do you realize what word it is that I stand on? The devil may say this is an unrealistic dream for you, but the word of God declares this in Revelation 22 and 17. And the spirit and the bride, the church, say, come, let him that is heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. What I want us to do is just come and let the Holy Ghost fill us again. Let it surge through us. And when it does, let Him let you dream. Let Him let you dream of preaching to hundreds. Let Him let you dream of reaching that individual, of those men being discipled that are coming out of CRCI, Brother Jefferson, of your neighbor being saved, of your family finding redemption, of you living above the struggle of the sin that has captivated you and drug you back down again and again. Let my dream come real. Let my dreams open up, Jesus. You're going to restore my family. I'm going to see it in my mind as I praise you and thank you and say, thank you, God, for bringing my children back into your house. Thank you, God, for bringing my spouse back into your